Avram Tzvi Kluger is one of the great mashpiyim in Eretz Yisrael today, and he has several svarim on the Megillah, and one of them is called Vayoshat HaMelech. It's a running commentary on Megillah Esther. There's some very, very sweet things in there. So we'll learn a piece now. Okay, the title of the piece is Histaklus Pnimis Ha'aras Mordechai HaTzadik Al Hishtatvus Klal Yisrael B'Sudas Achashverosh. Let's try to have an insider's perspective, a histaklus pnimis, an insider's look at how Mordechai HaTzadik understood the Jews' role at the Suud of Achashverosh. And you can look as an outsider and just see Jews going to the greatest non-Jewish party in history and label the Jewish people as a bunch of lowlifes. Or you could try to see it maybe in a different way. Maybe a tzaddik sees things a little bit differently. So let's see. Okay, we know that after Achashverosh made his first part of the party, he made a second part for his party. The pasuk says, "Asa Melech lechol ha'am hanimtzaim b'shushan mishteh." That's the lashon of the pasuk. It's in Perek Aleph, pasuk Hay, that after 180 days, Achashverosh made a 7-day party for the people of Shushan. Hinei b'pashtus, everyone see where we are? The lower part of the page. Hinei b'pashtus misbar b'divrei Chazal, sheklal Yisrael nehanu misudaso shalos harasha. The pashtus is, as sad and as painful as it is to admit, the pashtus is that the Jewish people went and they enjoyed the suda of Achashverosh. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Yes, it was only those Jews who were in Shushan, as the Gemara also clarifies, but still the fact that Jews could go and replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu with such a party, to be nehenu. Again, many of the Svarim say that the crime was not so much that they went to the party, but that they actually immersed themselves in the party. Right? That they enjoyed the party. They got involved in the party. The word nehenu is really the crime. That nehenu misudaso shalosa rasha, they enjoyed that Russia's party. And they sinned by going to the party of Achashverosh. Realize, this party was not Achashverosh just having a good time. The purpose of the party, as we turn the page, the purpose of the party was simply to get Jews to sin. To solidify Achashverosh's belief that God had forgotten about the Jewish people. And that Hashem was moving on, and that Klal Yisrael were ready to move on as well, that they had given up hope. Ukedivrei Chazal, we're on the top of page Chaf Beis. Ukedivrei Chazal, as the Medrash says in Esther, Amr of Yitzchak Nafcha, Haman ba'alila gedola ba'al Yisrael. Haman, with very evil intentions, plotted against Klal Yisrael. La'achtiyam besudaso shal Achashverosh. Hadahu dichsiv, that's what we find in the pasuk that we just read. Uva malos hayam ma'ela, after the 180-day celebration, asa hamelech l'chol ha'am hanimtzayim b'shushan habira v'gomer. The king made a 7-day party for those who were found in Shushan habira. We pointed out, those who were here yesterday, Achashverosh and Haman, it's hard to know who's worse. We usually assume Haman is worse, but they're both pretty horrible together. And we just Achashverosh wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, or partner with Haman and grant permission to destroy Klal Yisrael. Achashverosh, as we see a precedent in Haman. In Paro. We see a precedent in Mitzrayim, the root of Galus, that Paro thinks he's a god. Paro doesn't want people to know that he goes to the bathroom, because that makes him too human. So we see the notion of a king wanting to create a construct of an idea that I'm the creator of the world, that I rule the entire world. Again, what does the Gemara say about Achashverosh? He's one of three kings, Shlosha Shemalchu Bekipa. He's one of three kings who ruled the entire civilized world. So you understand, the person who rules the whole world starts to think that he created the whole world. He thinks that he's God. So we pointed out yesterday, that's why the first three words of the Megillah, Vayihi Bimei Achashverosh, is Gematria what? The Sfarim say is Gematria 914, which is one more than the word Bereshis. Because from the very beginning of the Megillah, Ahasuerus is trying to say, I'm the king of the world. I'm the one who's in charge here. One of the names that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, really one of Hashem's greatest names, one of his names that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's all-encompassing nature. Again, Ahasuerus thinks, I rule the whole world. I'm one of the three kings who, the Gemara says, ruled Bekipa. Kipa means like a dome. I have this like dome over the entire universe. It's all mine. One of the names that we give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rule over all space and time is the name what? Or Ein Sof, true. Give me another name for Hashem.
Makom.
Makom. Right? Hashem is called Makom because Hashem is the Mekomo Shel Olam. Hashem is the Makom. So when Ahasuerus wants to replace HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being the Makom, again, Makom is Gematria how much? 186. Makom, 186. So Ahasuerus makes a party for how many days? 187. Right? He decides, he's always trying to be a little bigger than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's trying to spread his wings. Ahasuerus wants to be in charge of the world. Ahasuerus thinks he rules the world. And Haman's working with him. We want Jews to come to the Suda. We want Jews to what? Nehenu misudaso shel Ahasuerus. To enjoy the Suda. So says the Medrash, Haman with great alila, with great cleverness, he tried to create a party where the Jews would sin. Hadahu dechsev. So sorry, let's go back again. So he made a party. L'chol ha'am hanimsa'im b'shushan abira. Ve'ein ha'am ha'amur kan el Yisrael. Says the Medrash, who is the am that's being described here? The am, of course, is what? The am, of course, is Klal Yisrael. The am, of course, is Klal Yisrael. Hadahu dechsev ashrecha Yisrael mi kamocha am nosha b'Hashem. So the am, right, the finishing touch of Ahasuerus' party, those last 7 days, were really about what? It was about dragging down Klal Yisrael. Amar Haman l'Ahasuerus, Eloheyem shel elu sone zima. The Jewish God hates perverse behavior. The Jewish God hates zima. Zima means arayos. Va'asa lehem mishta. V'gazur aleyem sheyavau kulam. So let's make a party and force all the Jews to come. Va'yochlu, va'yishtu, va'yasu k'ratzonam. They'll eat and they'll drink, and who knows what happens next. Shenamar la'asos k'ratzon ish v'ish. A party where anything goes. K'ratzon ish v'ish. Whatever a person's desire was. Kevan shira Mordechai kach. When Mordechai saw what was happening, when Mordechai understood the intention of this party, Amar v'hichriz aleihem v'amar lehem lo selchu lecho b'sudaso shachash v'erosh. Mordechai warned Klal Yisrael, don't go anywhere near, don't eat from that party. Realize that you're being invited to the party because he wants to use it to what? To slander you. To be mekatrig, to accuse you. To show God how guilty you are. Realize how they're going to spin this party against Klal Yisrael. Mordechai, the tzaddik, the Rebbe, says, I'm telling you that's not your place. You don't belong there. No, they couldn't resist. The Jews went to the party. The Jews of Shushan went to the party. Amr Rabbi Yishmal, Shmona Asar Elef V'chamesh Me'os, Halchu L'Beis HaMishta. 18,500 Jews went to the party. It's a lot of Jews. V'achlu, V'shasu, V'nishtakru, V'niskalkalu. They ate and they drank and they became intoxicated and they did very, very damaging things. Miyad amar satan vehilshin aleihem lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the satan saw what was going on, exactly as Mordechai warned, the satan came to accuse. Ah, look at these Jews. Look how they're celebrating, they're enjoying a party that was created to what? To replace you. To replace alufo shel olam, to replace hamakom. To replace Hashem. Crazy. Explains Rav Kluger, Umasha Mordechai haya achrayi ala mishta. What did Mordechai have to do with the party? How did Mordechai become connected to this party? Why did he take achrayis for the party? The Gemara already tells us that Mordechai has a role in the party. Chazal tell us, la'asos k'ratzon ish va'ish. Amar Rava, La'asos keratzon Mordechai v'Haman. Mordechai is called an Ish, Ish Yehudi Haya b'Shushan Abira. Haman is called an Ish, Ish Tzar v'Oyev. So when the Pasuk says, La'asos keratzon Ish v'Ish, it's a reference to Mordechai and Haman. What was Mordechai doing at the party? Because even after Klal Yisrael didn't listen, Mordechai still went to the party to try to protect them. Explains Rav Kluger, Hayarak kadei lahatzil esmi shehalach lemishta. Mordechai went to protect those who went to the party. Shelo yichshul ba'achalas asuros. Mordechai said, you know, if Jews are going to the fish show, so I might as well like have a kosher hot dog stand. Yeah, Chav, you following? If Jews are going to the concert, we might as well make sure there's kosher food there. There should be a Shabbos tent. If Jews are going to the concert on Saturday, at least, you know, let them have a place to hang out with their fellow Jews. Better they shouldn't eat treifus. Shouldn't eat not kosher. Ukedivrei ha-marsha v'hainu keritzono shelo la'achilon v'lashtoison davar iser. Right? Mordechai's ratzon was, if you're going to the party, at least, you know, if you're going to the corporate, you know, holiday party, so at least get your frozen kosher meal. It's better than sitting at the meal and you know, pretending like you're one of them. At least be embarrassed when you're eating out of your little cellophane, you know, wrapped, whatever, frozen dinner. Yeah, so Mordechai was trying, whatever he can do to try to scale back the Ister, he was prepared to do. We're in the top of the left column on page Chaf Beis. De Mordechai gufe vaday de lohay enena klam yosasuda. Right? Again, when the Gemara tells us Mordechai was at the party, he wasn't at the party. He was not enjoying the party. He was not partaking of the party. Rather, Mordechai what? Mordechai was there to protect Jews from eating, says the Marasha, the non-kosher food at the party. U'matzanu od b'divrei Chazal, shaya Mordechai mis'ana kol osam shiva yamim. Not only that, Chazal tell us, found in one of the Targumim, the Aramaic translations of the Megillah, that Mordechai fasted all 7 days of this party. This part, Mordechai was so scared that the Jews would be nena misudasa shal Achashverosh. He went, he tried to do whatever he could to lessen their averos. He himself was fasting to try to protect Klal Yisrael. The first thing we have to learn, says Rav Kluger, right, Pasha, the first thing we need to learn is that sometimes when your Rebbe says this environment is not for you, you should listen. You should listen. No, Rebbe, it's going to be fun. It's not such a bad environment, you know. We'll be okay. We're not going to get sucked in. Your Rebbe says maybe it's more difficult than you think. Maybe that's really not a place for you to go. No, we have to go. You have to go. Why do you have to go? I'll be embarrassed if I have to tell my boss I'm not able to come. Okay. So you'll be a little embarrassed. No, but I can go. It's going to be fine. Nothing's going to happen until something happens. So says Rav Kluger in the next paragraph. Uvapashtus halimud meosa sudahu. The first thing we need to learn, very pashut, and then we'll get into something a little deeper. But the pashut of Musar is very important here. Shitzarech lasur lahoraz ziknei hador. When Mordechai at Tzadik tells you something, don't say, ah, Mordechai, you're old, you don't get it, you know, you don't understand how the modern, you know, work environment operates. You don't understand what the expectations are. You don't understand that I can't say no. Mordechai says, I get it, trust me, I get it. You can't go to that party. I'm telling you, you cannot go to that party. And they went to the party. They didn't listen to the Tzadik Hador. K'moshekosu b'yaros d'vash. As Rav Yonasan Eibshitz wrote in his famous drashos called Yaros D'vash, Mizeh nilmad ha'ikar. The first thing we learn is the very essential principle. Mibli lahamros pichach me'ador. Don't think you know more and that you're smarter, and that somehow you'll be fine when the tzaddikim say you're not going to be fine. When the gedolim tell you this is the right attitude and right approach, and a person thinks, nah, they don't get it. My Rebbe doesn't really get it. Right? The tzaddikim don't get it. My parents don't get it. Maybe you don't get it. That's the first lesson. Maybe you don't get it. Certainly when you're dealing with a tzaddik like Mordechai, Ki tamid ruach Hashem tosef achach meyador lahoros la'am Hashem darchei Hashem v'orchos tamim deyim. Because the spirit of Hashem rests upon the tzaddikim of the generation in order to direct the people and to guide the people in accordance with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ilu shamu oz l'kol Mordechai. Painful words. Had they just listened to the voice of Mordechai, lo higiu l'tachlis ha-sakana atzuma, b'ma sheshasu v'shachru b'sudas Achashverosh. Then they would never have come to that danger that emerged from the drinking and the drunkenness of Sudas Achashverosh. The closest Klal Yisrael ever got to being destroyed, Haman's Gezerah against the Jewish people, came about. The starting point of it is because what? It's because he didn't listen to the tzaddik. We know that there are many parallels between the Purim story and what happened in Gan Eden. The first sin also is the sin of eating. And by the way, if you think about it more deeply, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says it was the exact same story. Hashem told them, right? The tzaddik hador, meaning God, Hashem told them what? Don't eat from this tree. Don't. That's not your party. And comes along a nachash, which is Haman, and tries to make it attractive. And they give in and they fall for it. And the Gemara, even if I'm not mistaken, uses this mashal, right? Of what should you do? Who should you listen to? When the Rebbe tells you one thing and the Talmud and your friend tells you something else, who should you trust? I was talking to someone from a different community called me last night. I had a question about his daughter was dating a guy. And he asked me, he said, who's this guy? Like, who's this guy getting his dating advice from? Does he get it from his Rebbeim? Does he get it from his friends? He said to me, when I was dating my wife, I spoke to my Rebbe, Rav Tursky, to get advice. I spoke to someone older, someone wiser than me. Because my friends were messing me up. My friends didn't know what they were talking about. They were giving me dating advice. Right? So when Chava listens to the Nachash, and Hashem said, wow, what are you doing? When the Rebbe tells you something, one of your contemporaries tells you something else, maybe err on the side of the Rebbe. It was the exact same story. Don't eat from that party. And Chava didn't listen, and Adam didn't listen, and the Jews of Shushan didn't listen. And again, it brings tremendous danger upon the world. The same death that was brought upon the world by Chet Eitz Hadas was almost brought on Klal Yisrael by the Chet of Achilas Sudas Achashverosh. However, let's go a little bit deeper into the sugya. Okay? Let's go a little deeper. Avnam yesh liz bonein od bezeh. The bottom paragraph from page Chaf Beis. Let's contemplate this a little bit more. Shehinei mi'idach gisa, because on the other side of the equation, the Gemara tells us, Sha'alu talmidav es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. The students asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mipnei man is chayvu soneim shal Yisrael ba'osu ador chalaya. Why were, soneim shal Yisrael literally means the enemies of Israel, but it's a euphemism. It's a euphemistic expression for what? For Klal Yisrael. We don't like to say, why did the Jews deserve to be destroyed? So we say the enemies of the Jews. Right? But it really means the Jews. So why were the Jews of that generation deserving of destruction? Amar lahem, heim lo asu el lefanim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo asu iman el lefanim. Now let me tell you what the Gemara actually says, and then let me tell you how Rav Kluger is presenting it. And you can see in the brackets, the next couple of lines, he says, Rav Tzadok HaKohen el Lublin, and the Resisei Laila learns it this way, even though it's a little bit different than the Pashup Shad of the Gemara. Here's the conversation between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his students in the Gemara in Megillah, on Daf Yud Beis. The students asked Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, why did the Jews of that generation deserve to be destroyed? What does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai say back to them? You tell me. You tell me, what do you think? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai asked the students, you tell me, what do you think? So they say to the Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon, they say, because the Jews ate from the party. So what does Rabbi Shimon say back to them? Rabbi Shimon says, that was only the Jews of Shushan. Why should all of Klal Yisrael be destroyed? Because of the crime of the Jews of Shushan. So then the students say to Rabbi Shimon, okay, so tell us the real reason. So what does Rabbi Shimon say the real reason is? Because the Jews bowed down to an idol. Now, if you might assume that means that they bowed down to Haman. That's not true. They bowed down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, which sent them into this gullus and brought about the destruction of the first base of Mikdash.
Okay? So then the students say to Rishon Bar Yochai, well, if they bow down to an idol, if they really did it, so then maybe the Jews should be destroyed. Maybe they deserve to be destroyed. So Rishon Bar Yochai says, no, they only acted lifanim. They only acted on the surface, right? Al Pnei, lifanim, aponim. They acted on the surface. And therefore Hashem scared them on the surface, but nothing actually happened to them. On the inside, they never bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. On the outside, they were bowing. On the inside, they didn't. So Hashem, on the outside, gave Klal Yisrael the perspective that they were dead. On the inside, we survived. We actually survived. Okay. What Rav Kluger is now going to explain is that that answer, listen carefully, that the Jews only acted superficially, is true for the original answer that the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave also. Meaning, the party that they went to, even though the Gemara says, Nehenu, they enjoyed the party, the answer of Heim lo osu el lefonim, they only acted externally, is true about the party as well. Okay, Chav, you following? Again, in the Gemara itself, the Gemara says they enjoyed the party, but that answer is rejected because that was only a small percentage of Klal Yisrael. Why were they really deserving of destruction? Because they all, the Jewish people, in their entirety, bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's idol. If so, why were they saved? Well, they only superficially bowed down to the idol. Again, according to the simple read of the Gemara, when they went to the party, they were mamish involved in the party. But that wasn't the real reason, because it was only a smaller portion of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Kluger now is reading Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's final answer, that the Jews only acted externally. He's reading that line as also going on the party. Okay, look in the brackets where he quotes from Rav Tzadok. Kamasha kosev Rav Tzadok ha-kohen b'resisei layla shehizkir mayim rechazal zeh al-mashanenu misuda shalach ha-shverosh. Right, the Rishon Bar Yochai's answer that they only acted superficially also goes back on the original comment about enjoying the party of Achashverosh. So which is it? Meaning, it sounds like they really enjoyed the party. And now you're telling me, no, it was superficially they enjoyed the party. So did they enjoy the party or did they not enjoy the party? Well, it really depends on your perspective. First he quotes a medrash, three lines on the bottom. Od Amru Chazal. Chazal explained in the Medrash Abba Gurion, which is a medrash on Megillas Esther. Kishahayu Yisrael roim klei beis hamikta sham. Lo hayu rotzim lo hasev imahem. When the Jews saw the kelim, turn the page, of the Beis HaMikdash at the party, the Jews said, we cannot be a part of this party. It shook them to the core. They saw the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and they realized what was happening. Va'osalahem misibala atzmam. Interesting. Says the Medrash, so they made their own party. All the Jews were standing in like a side room. You know, it was a big palace. There were a lot of different rooms where the party was taking place. It was the main ballroom. The Jews were uncomfortable in there because they saw the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So all the Jews went off into a corner to have their own little party. So you see, the Jews did not want willingly to rebel against Hashem. They fell where they fell. They ended up where they ended up. But the whole thing was external. In their heart of hearts, they were still good Jews. They saw the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and they said, we can't be a part of this. We can't leave at this point, or we'll disgrace the king, and we'll be sentenced to jail or execution. But the Jews all gathered in a corner. They said, we can't be a part of this party. So look, their internal moral compass was still strong, was still good. Point number one. Let's go further, though. V'nei b'pashas nira shehem lo lasu el lefanim haynu sha'asu rak klapei chutz. To explain further, again, the Jews acted only klapei chutz, towards the outside, externally. They presented themselves as enjoying the party. Ach besoch libam lo iskavnu lakach. But in their heart of hearts, never. A Jew in his heart of hearts, he never allows himself to be nana misudaso shalach hashverosh. Ach yesh levar od bepnimius. But let's understand again, more deeply. Because what does that mean? Again, according to this medrash, the Jews went off on the side and they had their own party. But there's many other sources that sound like the Jews were at the party. They were eating and drinking. They were mamish immersed in the party. So what does it mean? Were they there or were they not there? He explains so beautiful. Sheheim ba'atzmam lo yodu shebe'emes ritzonam betov. Sometimes a Jew doesn't even know
He's not even aware of the fact that what? That he doesn't really want to be there. If you would have asked the Jew at the party, you having a good time? Yeah, this is a great party. But his neshama is crying and screaming and saying, this is the worst thing I've ever done. So on the sometimes the Jew, there's such a disconnect, right? I always use Rav Judah Michel's mashal of the Shabbos lamp. Yeah, a Shabbos lamp always has the light on the inside, but if the window is completely closed, then the room is completely dark. If you start to open it up, open up the Shabbos lamp, so then a little bit of light shines out. You open up a little more light shines out. The light's always on, right? But depending on how much you allow it to shine forth, that's how much you're aware of the light being on, or not. I saw once another sefer, a tzaddik from Eretz Yisrael, died at a young age. He compared it to imagine a light bulb that's painted black. And you have a light bulb that you dip in black paint. It's a working light bulb. It's plugged in, it's turned on. The light's glowing on the inside, but it doesn't offer any light because it's covered over. Shchoyra ani v'na'ava. Ani yashen of a libi air. Ani yashen of a libi air. I'm sleeping, but my inside is still, my heart is still awake. So that was the state of Klal Yisrael. They themselves didn't realize how good they still were on the inside. Ach Mordechai HaTzadik his anav ispalo ko osam yom al Klal Yisrael. A tzadik, especially a tzadik hador, a tzadik emes like Mordechai, someone who's compared to Moshe Rabbeinu, is an all-encompassing person. Which means that while they were eating, Mordechai was fasting. You understand what that means? Mordechai represents Nishmas Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael on the outside, they were nena misudaso shel Achashverosh. Mordechai representing, Mordechai becomes the embodiment of the best of Klal Yisrael, who we are on the inside. Mordechai is fasting. Mordechai says, I'm not at that party. Because Mordechai represents the part of every Jew that's really not eating from the party. Uvakach ores pnimius libam l'Hashem yisbach. And by becoming that, Mordechai what? Helped to awaken, to stir up that libi air, that part of the Jew that's always awake, that's always alive. V'nizgal agam etzlam pnimius ritzonam. That's what it means. Kiratzon ish v'ish. Kiratzon ish v'ish. Ratzon's the deepest thing. We spoke about it the other day. How Ratzon's a tzinor. Same letters as a tzinor. It's that pipeline that connects you through all the olamos. Right? So Kiratzon ish v'ish. Mordechai says, I know I'm here to represent your Ratzon. Haman says, I'll show you what their Ratzon is. Look. Look what these Jews are willing to do. That's their Ratzon. And Mordechai says, it's not true. There's a deeper Ratzon. Chavar, let's review. The famous words of the Rambam. The very famous words of the Rambam. Where the Rambam says what? A Jew who refuses to give his wife a get. A recalcitrant husband who refuses to divorce his wife. The marriage is over. He's holding her hostage. Give the woman a divorce document and let her move on with her life. And you move on with your life. No, this husband is an abusive guy. He's refusing to give his wife a get. Says the Rambam, based on the Mishnah and the subsequent Gemara, what do you do to this fellow? It's the Rambam at the end of the second parak of the Laws of Divorce, Hilchos Gerushin. The Rambam says you show up at this guy's house and you beat him up, kofin oso, you force him, ad sheyomar rotza ani, until he says, I want to give a get. See, the problem with giving a get is that a get has to be given willingly. A get that is extracted through coercion is not a valid get. So we go and we beat him up until he says, okay, I want to give the get. So the Rambam says, that's called wanting to give the get. That's not called coercion. You bully the guy until he says the magic words, Rotzeh ani, I want. And now we write the get and it's good. That's a kosher get. Sounds like a joke. So the Rambam says, because deep down inside, every Jew wants to do what's right. When you beat him up, what's on the surface? The surface is his Yetzirah that says, I'm angry at this woman, and I'm going to make her pay. Say to this guy, calm down. Right? Give your wife a get. No. Okay, so the Yetzirah has mamish grabbed a hold of him on the outside. The Yetzirah has become the dominant voice in the conversation. His neshama deep down inside is screaming, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. So when we beat him up, or so to speak, beating the Yetzirah out of him, says the Rambam, this is the Rambam. The great rationalist philosopher, the Rambam. Sounds mamish like a Hasidic Torah. You beat him up until he says what? Rotze ani. The Rambam says, that Rotze ani is what? Is the depths of his being. That's what he really wants, deep down inside. That's really what he wants. The depths of his heart, that's what he really wants.
He wants to give his wife a get. He wants to do the right thing. Deep down inside, that's what he wants. So when Mordechai comes to the party, Mordechai says, I'm here to represent the Ratzon of Klal Yisrael. Ki Ratzon Ish V'Ish. Ki Ratzon Ish V'Ish. I had a Moyerdika Vart this morning on the George Washington Bridge. It's Pashut. No, it's not a big Chiddush at all. But it's a big Chiddush if you live it, if you think about it. I had a new understanding of costumes on Purim. You know what the costumes of Purim are about? So I told you, the costumes of Purim are about the process of being Mavarer, that I'm not a banana, and by the end of Purim I take off the banana costume. That's one pshat. I had a new pshat today. Yeah. Some kid loves basketball. Some seventh grade kid, he loves playing basketball. Loves playing basketball. Yeah? And when he's on the court, yeah, let's say he's good. Let's say he's really good for a seventh grader. Okay? Really good seventh grade Jewish kid. Yeah? And everyone tells him, oh, you're awesome at basketball, you're awesome at basketball. Right? So he's a basketball player. He's mamish when he's on the court, you know, and he crosses over some other seventh grader. He thinks he's Kyrie Irving. He mamish thinks he's Kyrie. In his dimyonos, right, he thinks he's Kyrie Irving. So you know what he does on Purim? He puts on a Kyrie Irving jersey. But you know what that means? You know what he's saying? See, all year round, on the inside, he thinks he's Kyrie Irving. So now on Purim, you know what he does? He says, I'm going to move the Kyrie Irving to the outside. That's my costume. And now I have to figure out, so then what's really on the inside then? Right? I mean, all the things I dream of being, I pretend, I think I am, right? Where I have these dimyonos where they sometimes creep into the inside. On Purim, I put them on as a costume on the outside, right? I'm the gala that, no, this is not the inside of me. I push that part of me towards the outside. I mamish wear it as a levush. But then I have to redefine. So then if that's just the lefanim, if that's the outside of me, so what's the inside of me? So that's what Mordechai did at the party. Right? The Jews at the party said, yeah, we're nana misudasasha. And Mordechai says, nah, you didn't eat at the party. The outside of you ate, the inside of you is still fasting. The inside of you still says, Rotza Ani. I want to be close to Hashem. We've said in the past that the gematria of Rotza Ani is, who remembers? Rotza Ani. It's from Torah from Rav Wolfson. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, the magic words of the Rambam. You beat him up until he says, Rotza Ani, I want to give the get. How much is Rotze?
322.
No. How much is Rotze? Let's go slow. Rotze is?
290,
296. 301. Okay. 301.
362.
301, by the way, Rotze is the difference between a Malik and Yisrael. Yeah, 301 is the difference between a Malik, is 240. It's Eish. 301 is Eish. Okay, but forget that. What's Rotza Ani? Ani is how much?
61.
So what's Rotza Ani? 301 and 61 is 362. So Rav Moshe Wolfson says that 362, right, Rotza Ani is Gematria Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is 362. Because what day of the calendar year does a Jew say Rotza Ani more than any other day? What day does a Jew scream, Rotza Hashem, this is who I want to be, dressed in white, fasting, giving up all the taivas of this world, right? No eating, no drinking, no anointing, no intimacy, no shoes, just dressed in white, standing in shul, dveikus v'Hashem. Rotze ani. That's the day where I say, this is who I want to be. Sometimes I become all sorts of other things. On Yom Kippur, I say, Rotze ani. So I'll tell you, I'm not going to go through it now, but Rav Yonasan Eipshitz actually has a calculation where he explains that the last day of the party, day 187, was Yom Kippur. He says, based on the measures, that the party started on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the party continued until 180 days, so that's Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Achashverosh, he has a whole cheshbon. Achashverosh took off maybe on Rosh Hashanah because he was scared to have a party on Rosh Hashanah because he thought that's the day that Hashem is, you know, that's the day God is king. So even Achashverosh is a little too scared on Rosh Hashanah. And then he started up the party again. And the party concluded on Yom Kippur. Mamish on Yom Kippur. So Mordechai is at this party. When the party reaches the heights of the party, and we'll come back to this point. But it's Mamish on Yom Kippur that Mordechai says, I'm telling you, this is not who a Jew is. It's all the fun of it. It's all on the surface. You would have watched, I'll tell you, you watch videos from the party, you'd be embarrassed to look what the Jews were doing.
But Mordechai says, no, it's not true. It's not their ratzon. It's not their real ratzon. It's not their real ratzon. It's mavish, not who they are. It's really not who they are on the inside. It's not who the Jewish people are. Okay, let's keep reading. Uvakach oriz pnimius libam la'ashem yisbarach. Vinizgale gam etzlam pnimius ratzonam. So Mordechai revealed to a Jew what his ratzon is, meaning what each Jew's ratzon is. Asher mishi yodea. Now here's a quote from Rabbi Nachman. This is Likutei Moran in the second Chelek in the Tinyana in Torah Zion. A very famous quote. Look at these words. They're beautiful. Mi shiodeya kedushas Yisrael. Me'ayin heim lekuchim. If a person understands the holiness of the Jewish people, from where we come, me'ayin heim lekuchim. Where do we come from? Where is our essence from? Where is our neshama from? Chelek Elokam mimal mamish. It's a piece of Hashem, literally. V'yodeya ruchnius v'dakus shel Yisrael. And we understand the spirit, the nuanced spirit of Klal Yisrael. Hu yodeya shi Yisrael heim rechokim legamrei me'avo. Then you know that sin is very, very, very far away from Klal Yisrael. Whenever we do averas, the Maharal says it's mikra. It's an accident. What do you mean? Come on, I saw the video. He planned the whole thing. I watched this Jew plan the whole thing. That's called an accident? That was the most intentional thing he ever did. Mamash plotted out this Avera for days to make it happen. Nope, says the Maharal, no, it was Mikra. It was by chance, it was an accident. A momentary lapse of clear thinking. What are you talking about? I saw this Jew, I saw what he did. Nope. You don't know who he is on the inside. You don't know the essence of who he is. That Jews are very far from sin. The ain avon shayach lem klau klau lo. Says Rabbi Nachman, sin is very, very foreign to us. It's not at all who we are. It's so fake. When we do averas, we're being so fake. That's not who we are. Lefi godo kedushasam mishorsham v'godo dakusam ruchniusam. Based on who we really are, that's not at all who we are. That's completely a costume. Sometimes we convince ourselves that it's crept onto the inside. So on Purim, we push it back out to the outside. Now it becomes a costume. Yeah? That seventh grader who's defined himself as a basketball player instead of defining himself as a neshama. Yeah, so now he puts on his Kyrie Irving jersey, maybe even paints his face a little bit, you know, gets a Kyrie Irving mask. He can manage to like play the whole part from head to toe. But it's all minasafa velachut. It's all on the outside. Because on Purim, he's realizing, wait a minute, that's not the inside of me. That's all lefanim, right? Again, at times he thought it was on the inside, but it's not. The tzaddik comes and tells you, that's not your insight. That's not the essence of you. So again, who was the one who had the conversation with his students about why did the Jews of that generation deserve to be destroyed? Of course it was Rashbi. Rishon Bar Yochai, the teacher of the Zohar, the teacher of Pnimius HaTorah, the student of Rabbi Akiva, the one who transmits not only secrets of Torah, whatever that means, it's an abstract, Kabbalistic way, the secret of who a Jew is. What do we do on Purim? Mishenechnas Yayin, the Gemara in Erevin, Yatza, Sod. Right? When the wine goes in, the secrets come out. We reach into our inner wellsprings of faith. Asher Pasach Esodus Pnimius HaTorah. That's where Rabbi Shimon is. V'limed es Klal Yisrael, Heich Lezbonin B'Pnimius Nishmos Yisrael. To be able to look into the depths of who a person is. And Rav Kluger writes in the next paragraph, that's exactly what happened. Mishenechnas Yayin, Yatza, Sod. Okay, go to the next paragraph. Now, Rav Kluger happens to be amazing at painting pictures, telling a story and painting a picture. So look how he paints this picture. It's a beautiful picture. It's a sad picture, but it's a powerful picture of a Jew finding his way back. Okay, we're in the bottom right-hand paragraph on page Chaf Gimel. V'nitzayer le'einenu, eichaya nirasham. Okay, you can look inside on the page, you can close your eyes and just try to actually picture it if you want. It's very powerful. Try to imagine, he says, what it must have looked like. Shehigiyu b'nei Yisrael el mishta. Picture a Jew coming to the party. Yeah, not some silly coloring book picture. Picture yourself. You're dressed. You're walking into the party. Okay? Let's make it, you know, a modern party. I was going to say, pick the music, but the Sfarim say there was no music at Sudas Achashverosh, because Achashverosh was scared that music could stir the Jewish soul. So it could be there was no music at the party. Okay? Maybe that's a rabbi that Goyish music is not called music. Maybe there was music, but that's not called music. Maybe that's the pshat. How can there not be music at his party? I never understood. I said there's no music at the party. So maybe he dafka, you learn from there that the type of music he played is not considered by Jewish standards. That's not even called music. Okay, so he's playing rap music at the party. Yeah? So imagine, you get to the party. Now picture the party. Okay, don't picture it too much, but picture the party, you know? Picture all the people at the party. Picture the food at the party. Picture the lights at the party. Picture the scene at the party. Uvitchila yashvu v'shasu. And now you're a Jew, you come to the party. And they want you to feel comfortable. Yeah? Some pretty girl comes over, puts her arm around you. When you get to the party, you sit down at the bar, a couple of drinks. Ach acher shenichlas yayin yatzasod. But when a Jew, right, when anyone drinks, their insides come out. And the inside of a Jew is very pure, is very sweet. Ulepesahim rom is klei hamikdash. Now, just look, imagine for a second. All of a sudden, a Jew at this party looks up, and he sees kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. And he's so sickened. Umiyad nizkar echad hamesubim Beis HaMikdash. Sharei hazakenim shabahem od zachoros bayis rishon. There were Jews who still remembered. Right? There were some Jews, some elderly Jews who still remembered Bayis Rishon. They recognized these Kalim. V'hischil livchos. And all of a sudden, the Jew just, at the party, goes off in a corner, he starts crying. V'zgagei ulahashroas ha-shechina. Shai Beis HaMikdash. He starts crying. I miss the Shechina. I miss the Beis HaMikdash. What's become of us? V'hischil la'oras ha'am anim sa'im sham. And he says something to a couple of his buddies. Achaveir of hishtiku oso v'nisu lahamshech la'asok b'shalahem. So some of the chavar was like, oh, come on, just like, stop. Why do you have to ruin the party? Why are you bringing that up? And they continue to be osek in what they're being osek in. Ach lepesam itstarif od Yehudi ala b'chios. It's all of a sudden another Jew says, no, he's right. This guy's taka right. This is wrong. What are we doing here? You know? And a couple more Jews join. Bra'omro, he beat the ru'u, ha-melech ha-shverosh, holichim bigdei kahuna. They look up and they see ha-shverosh enter the party. And he's wearing the big day Kohen Gadol. And another Jew says, no, what are we doing here? And a couple of Jews are, no, come on, get over it, whatever, it's done. Let bygones be bygones, you know, move on with your life. And another Jew says, no, but the Kalim, but the Beis HaMikdash. Hari ani zocher bealdusi is a Kohen Gadol. I remember seeing the Kohen Gadol when I was a kid. Right? Eich eradnu l'chazed diyota tachtona. Look what's become of us. How did we fall so low? And there's this struggle that's taking place, and it's a struggle that takes place between different people, and it's also a struggle that takes place within a single person. On the one hand, that pull towards the truth of who I am, and that part of me that wants so badly just to shut up already, like leave me alone, let me just have a good time. Why do you have to ruin everything? You know, that neshama, you know, playing that conscience that just bubbles up at all the wrong times. It makes me feel bad. He ends the paragraph, he ends the piece, this last paragraph, with an amazing quote from the Shevet Musar. He says, Mordechai et Tzadik, the last paragraph on the page, Mordechai et Tzadik meir behem shebe'emes v'tzonam el etov. Mordechai taught the Jews that, deep down inside, you want to do what's right. V'gam kasher nira li'yehudi sh'retzono b'ra'u v'chait. And even when a Jew says, it's not true, I've given up on that, I'm choosing differently now, the tzaddik still says, come on. Labav Trevi looks you in the eyes and says, really? Is that really how you feel? Yes, Rabbi, that's how I feel. Really? That's really how you feel? Until the guy breaks down crying and says, no, that's actually not really how I feel. Because deep down inside, I'm a yid. Be'emes gam oz v'pnimiyas nafsha ritzono b'tov. Look at this quote he has here. There's a statement in the Gemara in the Darim that says, Rishayim maleim charatos. Sinners, wicked people are filled with regret. What does that mean? The Rishaim seem to not regret anything. They seem to just keep doing averos. Right? A righteous person makes a mistake and feels terrible. A Rasha doesn't have regret. That's how he does all of his wicked things. Explains the Shevet Musar, no, the opposite. Rishaim Maleim Charatos means, HaRishaim Heim Maleim Charatos, VeHeim Einam Yodim Klau Ma'u Charata. Rishayim are filled with regret, but they don't realize and understand what charata is. What does that mean? Ki zehu ba'atzmo shehem misgabrim be'inyan rishasam zehu ba'atzmo charata. The fact that they do so many averos is itself the biggest sign of regret. What does he mean by that? Ki machmas shaba midaitam charatos, because they feel guilty and they feel bad and they have regret. So you know how they deal with it? they drown it out in another party. And then they feel worse, so they drown it out with another party. And then they drown it out with another party. And another round of partying, and another round of partying, right? But every time, it's just what? It's a cover-up for what? For the deep guilt and regret that they have. Until finally, they hit rock bottom. Yeah? And then they post on their Twitter account, "Please daven for me, I'm going through a hard time." I and Justin Bieber from this past week. Yeah? No? I and Justin Bieber from this past week. Been going through depression for the last month. Okay. He asked people to pray for him. Having a hard time. Having a hard time because eventually, every human being, al achas kama v'kama, lahavdil a billion times over, a Jew with a Yiddish neshama, right? There's only so much you can take until finally you say, you know what? Every time I've tried to push it away, it just, that neshama flares up stronger. Look how Rabbi Nachman explains it in the footnote. This is an unbelievable Torah. We're just going to read this last footnote, and then we're going to turn to the second piece on the page that I gave you. But just look at footnote Dalet. You see footnote Dalet at the bottom of page Chaf Gimel? Look what it says. He says in Likutei Moran, Reish Ayin Dalet. Da. This clarifies so many people. Think about your friend who's least religious. Yeah? Or think about yourself in your most irreligious moment. And tell me this is not true. Da. Whenever Rabbi Nachman says da, you know it's coming from the highest place. Da, you should know. Sheyesh reshayim sha'ovdim v'yegeyim kol yameyim kidei la'akur atzman me'yashem yisbarach mitarasa lagamri. There are people who spend their whole life, they're working so hard to just uproot that divine spark inside of themselves. They're trying desperately to disconnect themselves from Torah. You know why? Ki anekuda kadosha shakadushas Yisrael sheyesh adayin besocham. Because the spark of godliness that is still inside of them, that can never be extinguished. Even the person who's done so many bad things, he's so mebulbal. You know why he's so mebulbal? You know why he's so like all over the place? Because no matter how much he tries to bury that spark, he can't. And it becomes the biggest question of his life. When is this flame going to go out already? And it's not. The answer is it's not. Turn the page. Actually, turn two pages. You see the continuation of the footnote on page Chafei? So because of that spark inside of him, it's making him crazy. You can never really enjoy the taiva. Yeah? Oh, you don't have that last page. I'm sorry. Okay, so just listen for a second. I'm sorry. Listen just for half a second. I didn't give you that page. I'm sorry. Just listen to the end of the footnote. Yeah? Because of that, again, that moral compass, it becomes impossible to enjoy. There's this annoying little buzzing sound in the background called the neshama. So if I turn the music up, if I party harder, if I throw myself more into gashmias, maybe I'll finally drown out that voice. The problem is that voice never stops. It's a kol gadol v'lo yasaf. It's the voice of Hashem at Har Sinai that never stops. Lo yasaf, lo pasak, it never stops. Al kei avim via game. So therefore what? They try to do worse things. But every time they do something worse, they're just proving further what? That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. Every time you turn up the volume a little more to drown out the neshama, right? And the neshama still, you still hear that, you know, that annoying buzz in the background of the neshama, and the rush is working so hard to drown it out, it's not going away. It'll never go away. Never away. Right, so working, you look for item. They're so hard to convince themselves that they're an atheist, that they've given up, chas v'shalom. Ba'ofen shelo yelhem od tzad safek lintos el emes, to completely destroy every last shred of connection to Hashem. Aval tzrichem lezeh yegia gedola. But look how hard they're working to try to make that happen. Until they realize, you know what, why, what am I fighting? I'm not even winning. After all these years of trying to drown out that voice, the voice still exists. Because that the Jewishness within them doesn't leave them alone, and it'll forever pursue them. Until they finally decide what? To take off all the costumes and just say, Rotze ani, I want to be a Jew. I want to be a Yid. Okay? Take a look very, very quickly. I want to just do two more paragraphs. Mamish two paragraphs. I know you have two more pages, but I'm just gonna do two paragraphs of these two pages. In the Shvilei Pinchas that I gave you. Okay?
page Kuf Lamed Gimel.
Yeah, the paragraph on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. You see where it's bolded? The right-hand column on page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Yeah, have you seen it? I'm just using a different edition. Hold on 1 second. Okay, let's read this Chassam Sofer. Unbelievable Chassam Sofer. You see where it says, Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, where it's bolded on Kuf Lamed Gimel? The last day of Achashverosh's party, which I told you was Yom Kippur, was also Shabbos. Yom Kippur is called Shabbos. Shabbat Shabbaton. Shabbos Shabbaton. Yeah? The Gemara already says. The Gemara says that the seventh day of the party, right, was Shabbos. Rashi already brings it. His commentary, Megillas Esther. Right? The seventh day of the party was also the seventh day of the week. So it was Shabbos. Okay? Look what happened that Shabbos. Again, look how everything changed. After 180 days of partying, and then another 7 days of partying, and Klal Yisrael eating from the Suda, and Mordechai begging them not to go, and they rejected the Tzadik Ador, and they went to the party, and again, the videotapes would have been unbelievably embarrassing for us to watch. And yet, Mordechai and Tzadik didn't give up on them. And he was Megala that what? That there's a Ratzon Tov. Because, Chava, what did happen on that last day of the party? You know what happened on the last day of the party? You would think like, oh, yeah, yeah, this is the worst, the worst, the worst. You know what happened? Vashti gets killed. Esther becomes the queen. Klal Yisrael gets saved. Look how, says the Chassam Sofer, from literally the worst moment comes an unbelievable Yeshua. How could that be? Unless there's something very, very secretive and deep inside of ourselves that allows that possibility to take place. Okay? Let's just learn this one piece from the Chassam Sofer and one final point. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. Nir Ali. De'ikir ha'nes zeh. You know what the main thing we need to pay attention to? You read the story of the Megillah. You know what the Chassam Sofer says is the most unbelievable thing? Look how the salvation begins in Klal Yisrael's lowest moment, maybe ever. Nir Ali de'ikir ha'nes zeh. Hu ma'asha misaper ala mishta shal yedei zeh nerga Vashti. When the Megillah describes the party, which led to the downfall of Vashti. Vahu haschalas ha-Megillah. And that's where the Megillah begins. That's where the salvation, right, is rooted. Ki ma'asha shoma Hashem tfilasam v'tzakasam eino nes kol kach. The end of the Megillah when the Jews are crying and fasting, that's not a chiddush. That Hashem paid attention to them then? It's pretty obvious, no? When all of Klal Yisrael came together, davening and fasting, and God heard their cries. Shkayach. Of course Hashem listened to them. That was beautiful. What about when we weren't so beautiful? The fact that Hashem heard their tefillos and their cries, that's not such a nice. Sharei afilu tshuvas Ninveh kibel. When the non-Jewish city of Ninveh received the prophecy of Yonah, like we read on Yom Kippur, and changed their ways, God saved Ninveh. So of course, when everyone gathers together and does sincere tshuva, Hashem listens. The gamanes shana afochu asher yishlatu ayhudu heimu besonayim lo haya kol kachus l'teva ki a melech ov es hamalka v'gam hu hafachfach ish muzar. The fact that what? That when the queen asks Achashverosh to save her people, and Achashverosh, who loves his wife, listens, that's also not so crazy that the king should listen to the request of his beloved queen. Not so crazy. You know what's crazy, says the Chassam Sofer? That the seeds of salvation are found at the party. The beginning of Geula comes from the death of Vashti. There's a lot of secrets. Vashti has a lot of secrets. How many Mashiachs do we have? We have two Mashiachs. Right? We have Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. Not in that order. We have Mashiach ben Yosef, and then Mashiach ben David. Yeah? The Sfar Megiddush would say that Vashti is 2 times Mashiach. Vashti is 716. Mashiach is 358. So 2 times Mashiach is Gematria Vashti. The downfall of Vashti is a lot. Every word in the Megillah is filled with secrets. So that Vashti should be killed and be replaced by Esther, Zehayama Mishchutz L'derach HaTava, says the Chassam Sofer. That's unbelievable. He killed his wife because she wouldn't do some weird, perverted thing that he suggested at the end of the party. And that Vashti should respond in such a chutzpahdik way. That was the greatest hashkach of Hashem. Moving the pizza as the Jews were eating at the party. Maybe even on Yom Kippur. But Mordechai Tzadik says, I'm telling you, Hashem, no, they're not really eating. What do you mean they're eating? Again, roll the videotape. The Jews are eating. No, they're not eating. They're fasting. The Jews are close to Hashem. I'm telling you, look deeper, Hashem. Rotza ani, look on the inside. I'm telling you, the Jews are still good. Kuf bei vav yom asa mishta keratzon ish v'ish. 186 days. The party was going great. And all of a sudden, on the very last day, everything fell apart. V'lo nishtaga, and the king didn't get drunk, he didn't get silly, he didn't get foolish. Uve yom ha'achar, and finally on that last day, everything fell apart. That's an unbelievable miracle. Says the Chassam Sofer, in the last bolded paragraph, V'oz be'yom shenerga vashti lo ha'yisrael tovim. At that moment, the Jews didn't look so good. Shareinen misuda she'oso rasha. Again, a simple outside perspective, a bird's eye view of what was happening, drop a bomb on the Jews. Finish them off, they're terrible. But Hashem somehow, at the heights of Ahasuerus' party, looked to the depths of who the Jewish people were, and he saw something else. Look at Hashem's Rachmanis. You think on Purim, you know, a Jew comes on Purim, and you hear, like, you read in Svar, you're supposed to, it's an amazing day to daven for anything you want. Nah, I don't know, who am I, I'm not worthy. Look at the Rachmanis of Hashem. The Jews were at Sudas Achashverosh on Yom Kippur, and Hashem had mercy on them. In Vinahavachu, he planted the seeds of a double geula, Vashti, two times Mashiach, at that party. Veheichen aneis hagadol hazeh, lehoros nasan, to teach us, concludes the Chazam Sofer, bonim mashchisim. Like it says in Yeshaya, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalid, Banim Mashchisim. Banim Mashchisim means what? Mashchis, destructive children. But we're still Hashem's children. No matter how destructive we become, we're still Banim, we're still His children. Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Kim, we're Hashem's children. We might be Mashchisim, we might be really bad kids, but we're always Hashem's children. Afilu B'Shasha Mashchisim, even when we're doing the most horrible things, right, banim chavivim heim laHashem. We are still the children of Hashem. The way that some of the tzaddikim explain, you read the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? It says bayom hashvi. It was on Shabbos. Kitov lev hamelech b'yayin. Pashup shat, Achashverosh is drunk from the wine like never before. But the way that the yeta ponim explains, the way the mloha omer explains, the way the different tzaddikim explain. Ketov lev hamelech b'yayin. It was Shabbos. Obviously, this doesn't fit with the Yom Kippur version of Rav Yonasan Eibshitz's calculation. But according to the Gemara, that maybe it was Shabbos. Ketov lev hamelech, the melech, Hashem looked down, and you know what? He saw the Jews were making kiddush at the party. Ketov lev hamelech b'yayin. Hashem saw the Jews realize it's Shabbos, you know? We're at the party, we're drinking wine anyways, might as well pause for a minute and make kiddush. Imagine! Hashem says, look how good they are. They're so bad, but they're so good. That's the story of Klal Yisrael. They're so bad, but they're so good. So, concludes, just turn to the last page. Turn to the last page. You see Os Gimel? You see the little Gimel in the brackets? Yeah, is that on the last page? Yeah, what page? Kuf Lamed Dalet. Okay, we'll end with this B'nai Yisaschar. He quotes in the third line, you can see the B'nai Yisaschar, who quotes from the Chida in his Sefer Rosh David on Parshas Emor. You see where it says Sanhedrin Nunches in the parentheses, the Gemara he's quoting, Ben Noach Shashavas Chayav Misa. You know why it was Shabbos? You know why Shabbos helped Hashem to see who we are? Because there's a rule. The Gemara says a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Why is a non-Jew not allowed to keep Shabbos? Ki Shabbos hu sharvito shomelech, shebo shavas akalchto asherasa. Shabbos possession of Hashem. Hashem rested on Shabbos. V'kayim alon, we have of course a halacha, very obvious halacha, ein mishtam shin b'sharvito shomelech. You're not allowed to use the king's scepter. Right? We know the scene from the Megillah. Esther is nervous. Will Ahasuerus extend his scepter towards me or not? That's a sign that what? That you're part of the royal family. That's a sign that you're an insider. So typically, obviously, a commoner is not allowed to use the king's scepter, the king's magic wand. Right? Ein mishtamshim b'sharvito shemelech. Shabbos is called the sharvito shemelech. Shabbos is called the king's scepter. So therefore, a non-Jew is not allowed to use the king's scepter. Is not allowed to keep Shabbos. What about a Jew? Banim atem la'Hashem elokeichem. What happens if a Jew? What happens if the king's son, the little prince, yeah? He comes into his father's throne room and he picks up the scepter. Is the king going to kill him for it? He's my son. My son's allowed to wear the crown. He's allowed to wear the robes. He's allowed to hold the scepter. Right? It's actually very cute when he pictures the little prince holding the scepter, imagining one day how his little prince is going to one day, you know, replace him on his throne. And he wants him. He's raising him to be the future king. So therefore, what? Shabbos is only for Klal Yisrael. Shabbos is only for the prince. Shabbos is only for the Jewish people. So now you understand, it was Shabbos. By Yom HaShvi'i, the last day of the party, it was Shabbos. And Hashem looks down and he sees, wow, Shabbos is a day that reminds me that Jewish people are my children. And yes, like the Chazam Sofer said, sometimes they're banim mashchisim. They're bad kids. Right? But they're still Hashem's children. I once saw from the B'nai Yisachar's son, the Tzemach David, if I'm not mistaken, that he says that the gematria of Ben, right? Banim matam, we're called Hashem's children. The gematria of Ben is Shabbos. The gematria of Ben is Shabbos. How much is Nun Sofit in gematria? 700. So Ben, Beis Nun, is 702. It's the same gematria as Shabbos. So on Shabbos...
You're not using the Sofit on the
top. What do you mean? Tough is 400. Right? Ben is 702 and Shabbos is 702. So it's unbelievable. So on Shabbos, Hashem looks at us and Hashem says, ah, you're my child. Sometimes you're on the surface, you're Suda Sachashverosh. But the Mordechai Tzaddik of the world says, I'm telling you, it's not what it looks like. It's mamish not what it looks like. Mordechai fasted to represent Klal Yisrael, to show that we weren't really at that party. Okay, so Chavre, we have to understand, this is what Purim gives us the opportunity to do. Purim gives us the opportunity to see ourselves in a totally different way. To see ourselves in the real way, who we really are. We get so caught up in defining ourselves in all sorts of superficial ways. But remember those amazing words of Rabbi Nachman, a person who knows what Kedushas Yisrael really is, Kadosh Baruch Hu never gives up on a Jew. And that's why Dafka, the Chassam Sofer says, the main miracle of the whole Megillah is the fact that the beginning of the salvation took place at the party. That Hashem could see past all of the superficial averos that we were doing and be able to see His beloved children. That somehow inside, Rotza Ani, we still wanted to do what was right. Kiratzon Ish V'ish, the true Ratzon of a Yid is to be close to Hashem. Okay? All right. Shkoyach. What do you want to say? Nachon? Ratzon is Gematria Ish Yehudi. That's true. That's correct. He knows what he wants. He always holds on. There's always a part of him that doesn't bow down to Achashverosh and to Haman. When I taught in high school, there was a kid who was not a particularly religious kid, but Chol Yisrael was his thing, you know? Like, he wouldn't eat Hers nacho chips because they were OUD, you know? Like, what this guy did on Shabbos and, what he did with girls and what he was involved with, all sorts of things. But, Chol Yisrael, what are you saying? I'm a Yid. I'm not going to eat Chol Stam. I'm not going to eat, you know? Yeah, he was a Shtikl Chabad. All right, good.